The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
Let's talk today about a very important biblical subject and a very important aspect of our lives as Christians and the relationship that we have with both God and our fellow Christians. I want to talk today about fellowship, because I believe the word fellowship is often not understood completely, and at least judging by the way that we sometimes refer to fellowship. You see, sometimes we limit that word fellowship to a usage where we differentiate between the things we do in worship and then the things that we do together as Christians outside of worship. For example, a church may have a meal planned for the time following the worship period. And some people may say, well, we invite everyone to stay and enjoy some fellowship with us after the worship is over. And by that they mean we'll all assemble in another place and we'll enjoy eating a meal together. And we call that fellowship sometimes. Now, there's nothing wrong with calling that fellowship, because I think, as we're going to see in our study today, that's a part of, an expression of, our fellowship in Christ. But when the Bible uses the word fellowship, we see that it uses it in a broader sense than the way that we sometimes have come to use the word fellowship. It's not just to differentiate between the things that we do in worship and the things we do out of worship. Fellowship, rather, describes the broader relationship that we have in Christ. For example, we know that fellowship has to do with faithfulness, because the Bible teaches us that if there are brothers or sisters in Christ who become unfaithful to the Lord and they refuse to repent, to put away the sinful actions, then we are to withdraw ourselves from them. We speak of withdrawing our fellowship from them. Well, that's something that has a broader application than merely referring to the fact that we might or might not get together and enjoy a meal together. Fellowship has to do with that broader relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, we know the Bible refers to some limitations on fellowship. For example, Ephesians 5:11 tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so there are some things that we should not have fellowship with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about a number of different things, and he uses a number of different words there that all refer to the same idea, whether it's fellowship or communion or concord or whatever the word may be in that passage. He's talking about how all of these things are separate from one another and do not fit together, indicating that we should separate ourselves from the evil that's in the world and not have that kind of fellowship with those things. And by that, simply meaning the kind of relationship that we're going to be discussing in a little more detail here today. So, as we think about fellowship, let's just go to the New Testament and let's just examine what it has to say about this very important issue that we really need to appreciate and understand fully if we're going to have the kind of relationship with God, and especially with one another, that the Lord intends for us to have. You see, on the one hand, we need to make sure that we have a rich fellowship with all of those with whom we should. On the other hand, we cannot seek to find a fellowship with people that we have no right to have a fellowship with based on what God has said. So let's try and understand fellowship and to see the biblical discussion of it together today. First of all, let's get a good idea of how the Bible uses the word fellowship and what the word fellowship means. I know it's not always reliable to go to an English dictionary to define biblical terms that are used to refer to biblical concepts. But here, Webster's Dictionary does help us at least get a starting point on what we're discussing. Fellowship, as defined by Webster, is community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience. And so we begin to get the idea that the word fellowship refers to some kind of relationship in which the people in it share something together in common. So just with that broad understanding of fellowship, then, as being a relationship defined by sharing some kind of thing in common, we could see that we could define lots of different human relationships as a kind of fellowship. For example, you may have people who are a part of a civic organization or a club of some kind, maybe the members of the Kiwanis Club or some other type of organization like that. Well, those people share something together in common. They all have a common interest in that same organization. They all have a common membership in that same organization. And that is a bond between them of sorts. That can be referred to as a kind of fellowship. Students in the same school have a common relationship that they share together because of the fact that they are enrolled in the same school. That could be called a kind of fellowship. When we understand that fellowship, as we're using it here, refers to a relationship that we have in common based on something shared, then we're beginning to get the idea that I want us to understand as we look at what the Scriptures have to say about fellowship. Now, that's the basis from which we're going to work. Now, as we begin to look a little more carefully and a little more closely at this idea of the fellowship, the relationship that we have, we go to the New Testament and we see that that word fellowship is used in various ways. And we see that it is a little bit of a complex idea, I guess we could say, because the word that's translated fellowship is used in various ways in the New Testament to refer to different aspects of this relationship that we're talking about. So when we go to the New Testament, we see that first of all, the word that's translated fellowship, the Greek word that's translated fellowship, is translated in different ways, in different contexts. More often than not, it's translated fellowship, but sometimes the word is translated as contribution, for example. Romans 15:26 is one place where we find that word contribution. And there it's referring to the contribution of money toward a need that they're seeking to meet. In another place, we find the word communion, 1 Corinthians 10:16. That's the same word that's translated fellowship in other places. The communion of the bread and the cup is the communion of the Lord Paul is talking about there as he's talking about the Lord's Supper. A sharing together in common, something that is a common relationship as we come together. Another time in Philemon, verse 6, for example, the word sharing is used to translate this same word that more often refers to or is translated as fellowship. And he's talking about the things that they share together in common there as a result of their relationship in Christ. So as we begin to notice this word fellowship as it's used in the New Testament, let's bear in mind that we're talking about a relationship that is based on a common interest, a common bond. Now, the specific kind of fellowship we're talking about here today, of course, is a fellowship in Christ. And thus it is Jesus Christ who binds us together. It is our relationship with Him that defines our relationship with one another. When we talk about fellowship between believers in Christ. And so a fellowship with Christ results when we enter into a fellowship with God. Now, in Galatians 3:26 and 27, Paul talks about this relationship that we have together in Christ. And he tells us that it is a family relationship. He said, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Well now, how did we enter into that relationship in which we are part of God's family, God's children? Well, we were baptized into Christ. See, that's why baptism is so important. It's not my point today to discuss baptism in detail, but it's always important for us to notice what happens when we're baptized. Here Paul says we're baptized into Christ. That is, we enter into a relationship with Him that also makes us children of God. Now let's focus on that family idea that Paul introduces there. If because of our salvation, we enter into this relationship with Christ and thus become God's children, then everyone who enters into that same kind of saved relationship with Christ also becomes God's children. So then, what relationship results between those who enter into that relationship in Christ when they're baptized? If we are all children of God, if we're all sons of God, then what does that make us? Well, that makes us brothers and sisters in that spiritual sense. And there is this idea of fellowship. The common bond, we have a common Father. We have a common Savior in Jesus Christ. And so, this closeness to one another begins as a closeness to God that results when our sins are washed away in baptism. You see, before we are saved from our sins, we're separated from God. We are enemies of God. Over to Ephesians 2 and verse 19, Paul says this, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Look at this change that takes place. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now that's what we are in sin, strangers and foreigners. In Christ, though, that relationship changes. Now we become part of the household of God, part of the family of God. And thus, as part of the family of God, we have a close bond with one another that results from our entering into that relationship with God. Children of God, brothers and sisters with one another. Now, this relationship begins in our accepting that salvation that God offers to us, but it's maintained as we continue to live faithfully. John said this over in 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship with one another. Now, who does that mean we have fellowship with? Well, first of all, we understand that we have fellowship with God because we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And John had just said that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we must walk in the light as He is in the light. As a result of that, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God, but notice that that also brings about a state of fellowship with others who are walking in the light. See, if I'm walking in the light and you are walking in the light, then we're both walking in the light. That means we're together in that state, doesn't it? And so, this fellowship that we have as a result of becoming children of God is maintained by a life of ongoing faithfulness to the Lord. See, I can leave this fellowship by ceasing to live faithfully to the Lord. When I do that, then of course, I have stopped living the way that will characterize me as a child of God that He accepts and favors and so on for the life that I'm living. Now, that defines this relationship. And we see that, first of all, it's a sharing together, a relationship that we have with one another in Christ. But there's something else that we need to understand, a couple of other things we need to understand about this relationship in Christ. You see, it's defined by, or I guess I should say it's characterized by some actions. As a result of our being in fellowship with Christ, then we will also share together with one another. I mentioned a few minutes ago that the word fellowship, or at least the Greek word that's translated fellowship in most places, sometimes is translated with the word contribution. The one instance that I cited a moment ago is found in Romans 15, and I want to go over there and just notice there what Paul says about this contribution. In verses 26 and 27, well, let's back up to verse 25. He says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." The word contribution is the word, the Greek word that's translated fellowship in many places. So he's taking this contribution. Christians from various places had contributed money that Paul was going to take to the Christians in the region around Jerusalem. These people were experiencing great financial difficulty. And so Paul was going to take this contribution. But now notice what it was that brought about this contributing. He goes on to say, "It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister them in material things." See, these were Gentile Christians that were contributing this money to give to Jewish Christians. And as Paul has discussed throughout the book of Romans, he says that the gospel went first to the Jews because that was the way God had planned things. That nation of people was prepared to receive the gospel so that the church could get a good start. From then they took it to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And so the Gentiles, in a sense, Paul is saying, owed their salvation to the Jews. Not because the Jews saved them, not because they could not have been saved without the Jews, but rather by virtue of the fact that it was the Jews who first received the gospel and it was Jews who first brought the gospel to the Gentiles, then there was that sense of indebtedness. But the indebtedness was not just as a result of who brought them the gospel and when, but rather this indebtedness also comes about because of this fellowship that we have. Those are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They need my help. And because of this relationship that we share together in Christ, I have a responsibility. Paul says that these Gentile Christians looked at it as a debt to pay to them. And thus we see this idea of contribution, giving to help my brothers and sisters who may need my help in some way. That's an expression of, that's a result of this fellowship that we have. Paul commended the Christians of Macedonia over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 because they themselves were poor. But they pleaded with Paul, they begged Paul to take the money that they had collected to give to these other poor Christians. Even though Paul says they really financially were not able to do this. But you see, that sense of belonging first to God, and because they first belonged to God, they also in a sense belonged to one another. They gave of themselves, even out of their poverty. See, this is what fellowship in the New Testament usage of the word is getting at. It's the relationship, it's the common bond, and it's what results from that. Also, of course, we see the idea of fellowship involves a working together. See, this is a working relationship. As children of God, we have a responsibility to work in His kingdom. Now, I have that responsibility as a Christian, and you have that responsibility if you are a Christian. But we have a responsibility together to work together. Paul used the word fellowship to refer to that responsibility in a number of places. For example, in Philippians chapter 1, he referred to the church in Philippi and thanked God for their fellowship in the gospel. They're working together with him in the gospel. They had done that in various means, but most notably by the fact that they had been financial supporters for Paul as he traveled from place to place and then continued to be so as he found himself here imprisoned in Rome as he wrote the book of Philippians. Paul refers to a number of men with whom he worked as his fellow laborers and his fellow servants in the Lord. For example, he talks about Timothy being a fellow laborer, 1 Thessalonians 3. He talks about people like Epaphras in Colossians 1 and Epaphroditus in Philippians 2, and refers to all of these as either fellow servants or fellow laborers. That idea of fellow there, we're working together. We're working side by side. We have a responsibility to the Lord to work for His cause. And the way the Lord has designed that is, we work together. Do you remember how Paul talked about the church in both Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and compared it to the physical body? How the physical body is made up of different types of members with different abilities and responsibilities, and yet each of those members of the physical body performs its duty for the benefit of the whole body. So it is in the church. I have some talents and abilities that I can use for the Lord. You have some talents and abilities that you can use for the Lord. They may be different. In fact, they probably are very much different. One of us may be more talented than the other. That doesn't matter. Because when I do what I can do and you do what you can do, we're working together. We are bringing glory to God by doing what we can. And in this working together, we're also encouraging one another to work even more. And thus we become fellow laborers, together with each other, together with Christ, together with God. See, this is all what fellowship involves. Now, as we begin to wrap up our study in these last few minutes that we have, I want us to turn over to Acts chapter 4 and examine the church in Jerusalem. After we have now seen how the Bible talks about fellowship and what is involved in this relationship, we can see a great example of what fellowship is and how it works in the church in Jerusalem here in Acts chapter 4. We're going to be noticing verses 32 and 33 here. And what we'll see is all of these things we've talked about illustrated in these two verses. It says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul." Notice there, first of all, this relationship that they have that binds them together. Their fellowship came as a result of the fact that they believed. The Bible talks about believers. It's talking about people who have acted upon their faith to respond to God in full submission to His will. These people were believers because they had obeyed the gospel. Since they were believers, they had a relationship that joined them together, and this relationship was demonstrated in peace and harmony and unity. Notice that it says they were of one heart and one soul. So there's the basis, this relationship that is the foundation for the other things that we're going to notice here. We move on here. Verse 32, "They were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." See, there were some people in the church there in Jerusalem in those early days who were in some financial need, but no one considered his possessions as belonging merely to him. They had all things in common. That is, they were willing to share what they had with one another. Why? Because they understood full well the nature of the relationship they had. Their fellowship in Christ brought about a responsibility to one another to use what they had for the benefit of all. And so, they shared. The Bible goes on and talks about how that some who had property sold certain pieces of their property and used the money for the benefit of those who were poor. We read on and we see that it says they had all things common. In verse 33, it says, "With great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all." Here we see the apostles taking part in spreading the word, continuing to build the foundation doctrinally for the church. But notice that the whole church is involved in this. Great grace was upon them all. They were supportive of the apostles. They listened. They learned, they grew, and as they grew, the members of the church, in addition to the apostles, took on more and more of this responsibility to teach others. By the time we come to Acts chapter 8, and we see the persecution of the church beginning there in Jerusalem, it says that they were scattered abroad, but they went everywhere preaching the word. You see, they were working together. Working together because of this relationship they had in Jesus Christ. So, as we think about this idea of fellowship and what the New Testament has to say about it, hopefully our study today has helped us to gain a better appreciation for what we mean when we talk about fellowship in Christ. And the importance of understanding the limitations of that fellowship, because we know in the first place, this relationship is established as a result of our relationship with God. Now, God draws those lines. God has defined who it is that is in this relationship with Him. Through our faithful obedience to the gospel, we become Christians. That is, we become children of God. And that then is what defines this fellowship with one another. Because if I have been saved from my sins, and you have been saved from your sins, then God recognizes us both as His children. That means that we are in this relationship with one another. Understanding and appreciating that then will help us to build a closeness and a unity that will be demonstrated in our warm affection for one another, in the fact that we want to be with one another, to encourage one another and strengthen one another. But it will also demonstrate itself in the fact that we are willing to take what we have and use that for the benefit of others within this fellowship. Whenever that need arises, we're perfectly willing to do that because we understand what we share together. But we work side by side. We all labor together in the cause of Christ, doing whatever it is we can, using whatever talents and abilities the Lord has blessed us with to bring glory to God. And in doing so, we build up and encourage and strengthen each other to do even more for the cause of Christ. Now, we enjoy this fellowship in Christ. And we maintain this fellowship in Christ through our faithfulness to the Lord. It's one of the great blessings we have in Christ. And I hope that we can understand and appreciate that and live a life of joy and peace and harmony as we live for God together.